about General Sherman, and you said that his comment was about his march to the sea was that he was there to win the war.
Yes, he was in there to fight a war, and the quicker he could do it, the less casualties there would be. He was in there not only to fight a war, but to win the war.
Yeah.
And you don't blame him. If he didn't want to win it, he was on the wrong side.
Sure.
I mean,
well, let's get back now to the Chattanooga News and after the.
All right, let me see.
What happened after the election? Did you go back to work?
No, I went to work to do work for Lincoln Memorial University up at Jenny Burks. Had been a friend of mine who was a. She lived at Cumberland Gap, and it had something to do with the DA, or I don't know how I came to this exactly, but I know we went up to Cumberland Gap, went up to Lincoln Memorial, and then we took a trip all up. It was had to do with the DA, or went to Washington and all that in western Pennsylvania doing publicity work for Mrs. Trying to think of the name of the woman that was running for president general of the DAO. And we were doing publicity for her, and then she won it, and we came back to Washington, and what did I do next after that? I'm trying to think what I did.
Well, how long were you at Lincoln Memorial?
Well, see, I was with them, but I didn't stay there very long. We traveled all over western Pennsylvania and went out to see Ms. I can't think of that woman's name. She was elected president general of the DAR. She came down to Chattanooga, had a big reception here for her. She was a president general. She was... She was from near Pittsburgh at that. We went out there to her house. I can't think what I did then.
Well, did you go to the Times at that point? At some point you went to the Chattanooga Times.
And I started writing those leaves from the family tree. I think the first one was written in was it December 34?
I don't know.
I think it was.
Was that about your next job, though? Is after the news and after this publicity work? Is that about the time you went to the Times?
Yes. I started writing that leaves from the Tram to Tree for them, and I wrote for that. I wrote that until... Trying to think what I did then. What did I do then? I can't think of.
Well, let's go back and talk about the Chattanooga Medicine Company. When did you go to work for the Chattanooga? And did your mother get that job for you too?
No, well, she did in a way. The person that gave me, I went to them from the news. I guess that was when I went there. See, the man who was the head of the advertising department of the Chattanooga Medicine Company lived next door to my mother, lived next door to me, but lived in the old Johnson house. He rented it from my aunt. They were my mother's neighbors, and she was very fond of both Mr. and Ms. Wheatley. They liked my mother very much. No, she didn't. In a way, she didn't.
Was that about 1923 when you went to the work for the medicine company? I don't have the date exact, but I have approximately. Is that approximately the date?
Yes, I was working for them in 1923 because I was in Texas out there then. I know that. I remember being in Texas out there then, and I was working for them then.
Well, who hired you at the Chattanooga Medicine Company?
I don't know whether Mr. Wheatley hired me or George Fontaine. I worked immediately under George, but Mr. Wheatley was the head of the department, and he was the one that Lewis' friends and mamas that lived next door to us.
And what was the name of the department?
Advertising department.
And yes. Your job was?
I checked advertising there. They'd give me a list of dealers, and they were checking up. See, they printed all their different forms, the calendar and the almanac and a sheet that they did, the two or three, a news sheet and several different things. Mr. Griscom was the head of the printing department. He was Minnie Everett's father-in-law, my cousin's father-in-law. But they were people. Ms. Griscom was my mother's dear friend for years. But they were all people we'd known. I'd known them all my life. But Mr. Wheatley was, I went to them really after I came back from Lincoln Memorial up there. I went to work for their Mr. I was working with the advertising department of the news for Mr. Walter Johnson. And Mr. Wheatley offered me a job, and I went out there to work for them. That's how I got it. Uh-huh. I don't know whether Mama had anything. She could have.
Well, how long did you check ads? Because at some point you changed jobs there. You got another job.
What?
You started traveling, right? The Chattanooga Medicine Company.
Well, I checked their advertising with the dealers in the places that they
live.
They'd give me a list of places in Texas or Mississippi or maybe both, Alabama, wherever they were putting out these different forms of advertising, like their almanac and their the kind of a news sheet that they published, different things. And I had to go to the dealer and find out whether they were getting any results from the form of advertising that they were using.
I see.
And they'd give me so many dealers to go and see and talk to them about it, or where they could be improved.
Mm-hmm. What were the other states besides Texas? Where did you travel?
Oh, I went all over the Southeast. I've been to every state, Florida, from Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, wherever they sold a black draft, I went, wherever. I didn't go to the far west, and I went to California, but I went as far west as Lubbock, Texas, up on the plains. I've been all of East Texas. They did a big business in Texas, but they did in Mississippi. I've been all over Mississippi, every county seat in it, Alabama.
What about Louisiana? Did you travel?
Yes, I've been to a good many places in Louisiana, the hottest place in the whole.
Yeah.
Shreveport, I can't imagine a hotter place in Shreveport.
I was born in Shreveport.
So. Well, it's the hottest place on earth.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, in your travels, who are some of the most interesting people you met? I know you had the job to do, and you did your job, and that was the most important.
Well, I always did my job the first thing, but I had a lot of spare time that I'd have to wait on the person, you know. They didn't want to talk to me, they weren't in or something, come back. And so I had a lot of fast. Well, the most interesting thing to me, I'd always go to the library with books. If there was an old book dealer in the town, I'd go to see what he had and what he do. One of the best friends I ever had was old Mr. Green in Fort Worth, who ran an old bookstore out there. I've got a little paint pot that was an Indian paint pot, the way they kept the paint inside this rock that he gave me that I wouldn't take anything from. And he gave me, I had a beautiful tomahawk that he gave me. He knew all about the Western Indians. Well, he knew about the Eastern. But I never met anybody in Texas that didn't have at least one grandfather that came from Tennessee. And they always want to talk about Tennessee. Everybody had a grandfather that came out there from here.
Yeah.
And I knew a lot of people in different places that were related to people that I knew here. Every now and then, sometimes I'd look them up, sometimes I didn't. But
and you met Marvin Hunter a time or two?
Yes, I went up there to see him. But see, he carried the advertising in his paper.
Oh, yeah.
See, I met him through them. I mean, he'd carry ads of Black Drape in his paper, and I'd go up there to...
Is that the same way you met Dr. Starr traveling?
No, I looked up Dr. Starr. I knew who he was, and I had been interested in the Cherokees, and I knew that he was in... No, I knew about Dr. Starr from Miss Alice Robinson. She was one that told me you know, I'm a great believer in Providence. I think the Lord takes care of you. One time I was in Claremore, Oklahoma. I had to go there on business. And I stayed at the Will Rogers Hotel, and they had have the baths there. And I had been taking the, after I got through my work, I had to wait the next day to get out of town for the train, so I took one of the hot baths that they give you there, and they put you on a cot and roll you up on the top floor in the sun, you know, the sun, and who would I be next to but Miss Alice Robinson? So we got to talking about it, and she said she was a granddaughter of Worcester, you know, at...
Brainerd Mission.
Uh-huh. So she wanted to talk to me, and so we had a very interesting conversation. She told me all about Dr. Starr. She said he galloped all over this country out here. He had a little calico pony, and he used to gallop all over the plains, gathering the immaterial for his history. And she told me a lot about him. So the next time I was in St. Louis, the first thing I did was look up Dr. Starr. Yeah.
Describe him. Describe his physical appearance.
Well, he was small and very dark, very Indian-y.
Uh-huh.
But he was very nice. He was so nice to me. Dr. Starr was one of the nicest people. I think that the people that have belittled his historical work, they don't know what they are talking about. He did more to preserve Cherokee history than anybody because he got to it first.
Right.
And he got the roots of it.
And knew the value of it.
Yes, he knew the value of it, and he was just devoted to it. He was crazy. Of course, he was on the different... I was a Rawson Heron, and he was a
Ridge
man. The bell, he had one, Hooley Bell, that he used to talk about all the time. Hooley Bell, it was on the Ridge, but we never fell out about it. We never had any argument about it.
How many times did you meet Dr. Starr? Or did you visit
him? I went to see him every time I went to St. Louis. I've gone out to his apartment and stayed till midnight to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived way out on the... I'd stayed at that big hotel downtown, and I'd get on the streetcar and ride out the way he lived, about a half a block from the streetcar. I went out there and spent many an evening with him.
Uh-huh.
Because he knew what I wanted to know, and I knew what he wanted to know. He'd never been back east. He wanted to talk to somebody that knew where these people that he was interested in and lived. Oh, we just had a picnic.
Well, what was his profession?
He was an M.D. doctor, but I don't think he followed it too much. He in his last part of it, I think he just wrote history.
Did you know him when he was an older man?
Yes, he was an older man when I knew him.
I see.
I knew him in the 1920s, there, 23 and 4.
Uh-huh.
There.
Well, let's get
but
back.
Miss Alice was the one that told me how to find him and to find him. And
uh-huh.
What I... But I think the Lord directs you.
Sure. He sure was busy with you, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. It was a question, who'd ask the most questions? He wanted to know about this one and where they lived and when they went to that place and how far it was apart and where back east it was. Because
uh-huh.
He'd never been back here, unfortunately. I said, Dr. Starr, you ought to come back here.
Uh-huh.
You ought to come back and see the country.
Uh-huh.
But it'd be like Mr. Robert Ross when he came back here and we took him all around, Senator Sanders, and took him all around. He looked all around and he said, well, we got the best of it when we moved to Oklahoma, didn't we? he went home satisfied.
Yeah. Tell me something about Ellsworth Brown. You knew him at Chattanooga Medicine.
Yeah,
Company.
I know, knew Ellsworth. He was kin to me.
He was? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Ellsworth was, he's kin to the Lane family. Not close, but yes, Miss, and my sister. Yes, I've known the Browns always.
What was his job at Chattanooga Medicine Company?
He was in the advertising department. He read all the copy. He's the best copy reader I've ever known.
Uh-huh.
He could catch a comma if he left it out of place.
He told me once that he knew more about herbs and...
He did, anybody that I've ever talked to.
And was evidently self-educated in that field.
Well, he was the kind of person, and he read Latin like a Roman. He was very, if he liked anything, he would go to the bottom of it. He was very thorough and very meticulous. He was very, very meticulous about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Had to be just so.
Mm-hmm. Who else was there at Chattanooga Medicine Company that you
George could... Fontaine and Joe, well, there was another man out there. I used to see. Well, he worked in the department then, and Mr. I worked right when I first went to work there. I was in the advertising department, but when Mr. George Patton, you see, he was in St. Louis when I went there to work. Then he came there to work. Mr. George wasn't nearly as nice as Mr. Boone. Mr. Boone Patton was a fine fella, just nice as he could be, just so considerate and pleasant to work with. Mr. George was kind of gruff. He knew he was not, he never was really unpleasant to me, but he wasn't the person Mr. Boone was. Or Mr. John A. either. Mr. John A. was nice.
Huh.
But of course he didn't live long after he wasn't living when I went out of work.
I see.
He got me my job at teaching. Uh-huh. See, but he had died when I went up there to work.
Well, what year did you finish at the Chattanooga Medicine Company?
Huh?
What year did you finish up there? You worked there from the early 1920s, maybe 1922 or 23.
Oh, I worked there till the Depression, 1929.
I see.
Till they closed down. They closed down when the stock market crashed. Everybody, there were a lot of them that worked there that had to find jobs. And that's when Miss Ox found me the job down at Chickamauga Park. I went down there to work for Mr. Landrieu.
Landrieu?
Landrieu, L-A-N-D-R-E-D-R-U, I believe it was. L-A-N-D-R-U, I believe.
And you were publicity there?
Uh-huh. He was a park superintendent. He was there before Mr. Dunn.
And did you conduct any tours or do lectures or
no,
what?
No, they were just building that museum when I went down there.
I see.
It was in the process of being built. Got some newspapers down there. I gave them for that place.
I see.
And Mr. Fuller gave them that collection, you know, for down
guns.
There.
Guns. Well, what was your actual job there, though? Did you conduct tours or did you
lectures? They didn't have any tours down there when I was there.
I see.
I just did publicity, and I guess people that came in there, they would show them around. I don't remember much of what I did do, except I know.
Well, let's talk for a minute then about your life in Chattanooga as a young person and the places that the young people congregated or the entertainments that they had.
Well, the place that we congregated when I was young was Joe Anderson's drugstore.
Joe Anderson's drugstore.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
What was it? Where was it?
It was on the corner of 8th and Market, right there on northwest corner of 8th and Market.
Mm-hmm.
It had been across the street, you know, where Schwartz's shoe store was. And then he moved it from over on the cross from Loveman's Cross. It was on the northeast corner, and they moved over to the northwest corner.
Uh-huh.
But all the time that I was going there, Gene Anderson was the age of the group that he went with, and he worked in the soda fountain, and we'd all go in there and talk to Gene.
I see.
Then the one by One that I liked in there so much was Carruthers Anderson. He's Mary Chapel, you know, Quinn, Miss Quinn.
Miss Quinn.
Miss Carl Quinn. Her father. Carruthers was my confidant. I used to go in and tell him all my love affairs, and he was about 6 or 8 years older than I was. He'd advise me as to what to do and how to deal with the situation. I liked him very much.
Was he Joe Anderson's son?
Brother. They were all there. There was Gene and Joe, and then Dr. Anderson was their brother. They had another brother. Then they had one that had charge of that chicken business up on the, what was his name? I never did know him so well. I knew Mr. Joe and Gene, the best Gene was with the group that I went with, and boys and girls, you know.
Uh-huh.
But he clerked at the soda fountain, and everybody would go in there and talk to him.
Uh-huh. Well, tell me about Vallombrosa.
Well,
that was on Stringer's Ridge.
It was a popular place to go. I remember we went over there on a picnic when I was in high school. Miss Buco, who was a teacher at high school, she took a group. We went up there and spent the day and had a picnic up there.
What was her name?
Miss Buco, B-U-Q-U-O. Buco, what they called her. She taught in school. She never did teach me anything, but she was we got her for a chaperone. I remember her taking us up there and we spent the day up there at a picnic up there.
Well, how did you get there? How did you
get? We had to get off. We had to go at the end of the car line and then walk way up there. We had to walk.
Where did the car line end?
It ended down there at White Oak, down there at...
At Signal Mountain Road?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It just went to the intersection of Signal Mountain Road and ended?
I don't think it went as far as Signal Mountain Road. I think, it went right there at White Oak.
Oh,
right
okay.
There at the, you know where the White Oak Spring was,
okay.
Right
that's,
there.
That's on past Signal Mountain Boulevard then.
Yeah.
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 And then you walked.
We had to walk from there clear up to the place. It was a long walk. At least we thought so.
Okay, now you're talking about, you're talking about Marston Springs, aren't you?
Yeah.
I had meant Vallombrosa, which is on top of...
Well, they called it Vallombrosa.
Well, I thought Vallombrosa was on top of Stringer's Ridge.
On top of Stringer's Ridge?
Stringer's Ridge.
We didn't go up on top of the ridge. We went to... I guess we went to Morrison Springs, but that's what they called it, Vallombrosa.
It is?
Yes, I never heard of it, Vallombrosa being up on the ridge.
I see.
I thought it was... down there where the car stopped.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was at Morrison Springs? What was there? Just
the
picnic
well,
area?
Well, it was picnic area and springs. It was springs there. I remember Miss Buco took a book. She read us, what is Maciel Beaucaire? She read to us that day. And we just had a picnic. Everybody took a something for the lunch or the thing. We walked up there to the spring.
Mm-hmm.
To the class, I remember having that out there.
Mm-hmm. As a young person, did you ever go from Chattanooga up to Walden's Ridge or to any of those places up there?
No, I never did go up on the ridge much.
What about Lookout Mountain?
Well, I used to go up the side of the mountain all the time.
Uh-huh.
We used to go both on top. I had relatives that lived up on top of the mountain, and Aunt Helen Watkins lived up there right above Grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
See, Grandpa lived in the big house, and Aunt Helen lived on the East Bluff.
Mm-hmm.
Next to Ms. Garnet Andrews, they all lived there on the East Bluff from mm-hmm. the incline, I guess. Where Senator Sanders' house, you know, the big house where Senator Sanders built up there.
Yeah.
Well, then there's another house, and I know the name of it. Is it Crowd or somebody like that has a house? And then there was another house, and then Ms. Garnet Andrews had a house, and Aunt Helen Watkins had a house.
Mm-hmm.
Right across from Aunt Helen's house, Chester Watkins had built a house, a one-story mm-hmm. stone house.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Chester used to get out in his backyard. He played a clarinet. And he'd play his clarinet up there, and Grandpa would get on the back porch stand, and he'd answer. They'd play back and forth.
Each played the clarinet?
Yeah.
Is
and
that
play
right?
to each other. And you could hear them up there, up on the bluff. You could hear them.
As a child, did you ride the incline much or many times?
Well, occasionally. We didn't ride. We hiked up more than we did. We'd go often go to the Glen. We'd have a picnic up at the Glen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we used to go up there all the time for picnics.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a pretty little spring. They changed that road and they ruined it. There was a spring up there right where the road goes around the point and then goes down to the Glen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they cut that road, they ruined that spring. The spring disappeared. They cut it off. Anyway, it must come out down below some way, because it used to be up on the roadside there.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we used to go up to the Glen and have a picnic up there every so often. The boys used to go up there all the time. There was a swimming hole down there below the Glen. Where they go swimming.
One facet of that we haven't touched very much on is your work as a genealogist. How did you actually get started and all of a sudden decide that you were
started in my grandfather's lap when I was a little girl, about 4 or 5 years old. My grandfather lived at that time, my mother's father.
It was A.M. Johnson?
No, this is my grandfather Clegg.
Oh.
My mother's father.
Uh-huh.
Lived down below us in an old Johnson house. Tom Turner lives in the house now. That's the oldest house in St. Elmo. If Grandpa built it before the war, it was up where the big brick house was. And then when he went to build that house, he rolled it down there on rollers. And my grandfather Clegg lived in that house for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And they were living there when I was about, I guess, 4 or 5 years old. He used to come up with us a short block in there. And he'd take me on his lap and tell me tales about his grandfather. And I remember climbing up in his lap and I'd say, "Now, Grandpa, please tell me about your grandfather that was at King's Mountain." He used to tell me all about this old man that he had a grandfather, a great-grandfather, that was a captain of a company of Washington County militia that was in the Battle of King's Mountain. His name was Captain George Russell. And after the battle, this young soldier had performed so well that he was so proud of him, he took off his coat and put it on the young fellow. And he said, "Now I've got something at home better than that I'm going to give you." And so he took it home and married him to his daughter. And they were Grandpa's grandparents. And he used to tell me that tale, and I thought it was so interesting. That's what started me on genealogy.
Mm-hmm.
He just tell me about his family. And
mm-hmm.
from the time I was just from the time I can remember.
Mm-hmm. Well, you actually did genealogical work for some people, didn't you?
Oh, I've done a lot. Yes, I did for Miss Tom Preston, for Miss John L. Hutchinson. I did professional work for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And in the course of that work, you traveled quite a bit.
Yes, I did. I traveled all over Georgia with Mrs. Charles Freeman, all over to Georgia. Her ancestors were all from down around Madison, Georgia. I've been to Madison, at the place that Sherman didn't burn. That was her family was from down there. She was from a family of Pendergrasses that lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Freeman's family was from, I think they call it Lithonia.
Oh, yeah.
He was from Lithonia.
Yeah.
But my Fandel from Hall County, my grandfather's Fandel in Georgia people.
Did you travel much to, did you go to Washington many times, D.C.?
Yes, I went for years. I went every year. I was in Washington. I had a brother that lived there. My brother was in the, he was in the, what, Internal Revenue, I think so. Was with the Interstate Commerce Commission.
Oh, I see.
I used to, my youngest brother was a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
He was up there during the war, and then he stayed up there, lived up there for, he ran for Congress from this district, but he was a Republican at the wrong time, and he didn't get it. But
tell me how you met Opie Reed.
Well, I met him by, I knew Mr. French, his brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
You see, he was Ms. Fred Fraser's father. You know, they lived halfway up the mountain, lived at the halfway station going up the incline. The Frenches lived right there. Their house was right there. And I didn't really know him, but I had read Tennessee Judge and several of his other books. And was so interested in him. He was a local person that that Mr. French, he lived at Hiawassee Island, you know, they owned the island, and I was interested, always been interested in that, all the different phases of its background.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't know all about it, I can.
But you went to see Opie Reed to get his
autograph. Yes, I saw in the paper, I think he was coming here.
Uh-huh.
And so I just gathered up all these books I'd collected in a basket this big. Peter Moore, my grandson's got them there. He wouldn't take anything from me, uh-huh. Couldn't he?
But you said that Opie Reed didn't, he actually didn't remember writing some
no,
of them.
No, he'd say, I didn't write this book. He'd pick it up, pick one and say, I never wrote this book, and his name was printed right on. And Mr. French would say, oh yes, Opie, don't you remember we were living at the widow so-and-so and he'd call somebody's name in Chicago when you wrote that. Don't you remember she said so-and-so and so-and-so. And Mr. French would prompt him and he'd say, oh yes, I believe I do.
And then he would sign it.
But two or three times he'd pick it up and say, I didn't write this book. I didn't write this book. He'd pick it up. But it was interesting.
Well, we've been talking now for 2 hours and 15 minutes. Are you about talked out?
You have learned a thing.
Oh, yeah, I've learned plenty. But we don't want to overdo it on this first time.
No,
okay, go ahead and tell me about Mr. Slade.
Mr. Slade's profession was a fancy cheese game. And whenever you'd say, what did you do before he came to Michigan, in Michigan, before he came down to work at the shell loading plant, he was in the fancy cheese game. he was a character. He'd never been south before,
mm-hmm.
And he couldn't understand the Virginia people when they spoke, even the talking.
Mm-hmm.
He had to have a go-between somebody to handle his Virginia problems.
Well, that's really...
And I was the buffer. I was the buffer.
Yeah, I can understand his... He was smart to get a buffer. You know, some people try to do it without...
Well, he couldn't understand it. He couldn't... he was a regular Michigander, was what he was.
Yeah.
My sister worked for him for a while. She came down there from Buffalo. She was living in Buffalo. She came down there and worked for a while. And see, where we had a cottage. They put up these temporary, they were just clambered houses. Ours had four rooms, but it was right on their backs.
Right on the York River, you said?
Right on the York River,
uh-huh.
Sit on the back porch and fish in the river.
Oh yeah.
Just throw the line right down into the river and fish right off the back porch. I had plenty of. lot of fun. We did shift work, you know. It was three shifts to the day. Mm-hmm. And we on the midnight shift, come in, sleep part of the morning, and then get old fish for the... We had all the good fresh fish right off the back, right where the water was. You could swim in it. It was that deep there. Where,
right at the porch.
Mm-hmm, at the porch.
Well, let's cut this off because you've tired me out.
You've worn out. You've worn out listening.
You've worn me out.